This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. You can subscribe to the app on Apple and Android. Visit FUBARradio.com for more details.
Jared Christmas on FUBAR Radio.
This is Jared Christmas on FUBAR Radio. In the studio, we've got the mighty Brucey back. And, of course, as always, the constant in our radio life,
Natomatic.
I know, I've been changing it up between Natomatic and Natomatic.
My preference is Natomatic. Well, I answer to both, clearly.
But Natomatic is aggressive, isn't it? That's aggressive. So,
What were you calling Andrew Bird yesterday? It was bird shit. That's pretty aggressive.
The bird shit.
You're shaved. You've got to tell everyone.
I've shaved. I've shaved my beard off. I've left the sides of the beard, though.
Yeah.
I think they're called sideburns.
Yeah.
I've left those bits.
You do look really different.
Yeah, thanks, mate.
Years have come off.
Years and hair have come off me. When it got shaved off, I'll be honest, I felt cold and I felt alone. So I'm just not used to it. But, you know, needs must.
Yeah. I prefer it.
Do you?
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to grow it back.
All right. It's less of that sort of, I don't know, sex offender vibe. That was there was a bit of that.
But that's just beards in general, isn't it?
Well,
it wasn't just my beard specifically.
No, it wasn't the way you were carrying it. You weren't carrying it in a particularly sex offender way.
Right.
But I like it like this.
But I think a beard is probably the worst thing for a sex offender to have. Because, you know, whilst you're doing your offending, a stray hair could come out. That's your DNA.
It's DNA, yeah.
You know? I think people who are completely hairless are more sex offendery because they've prepared themselves.
Yeah.
To leave nothing at the scene of the crime.
But some people just have that sex offender look. You ever, like, seen in a metro and there's a photo of someone and you just think, oh, gosh, is that a paedophile? And it's completely not.
No.
It's just some headmaster who's done a really good job or something.
So today on the show, we're going to be talking about prejudice and judging people.
Sorry.
And such hot topics as sex offending. What a way to start. We can't rewind and start in a different way. We have set the tone, everybody. I do not know where we're going to go from here.
Oh, it's got to go up.
It's hopefully going to go up. at some point, we're going to talk about credit card fraud and potentially...
Sex trafficking
and wanking off your neighbour's dog.
Yep.
That's what we're going to do.
It's coming up in the next hour.
It takes about an hour, too. Can last a long time. None of that stuff. We've got Bullshit Detector coming up. We've got Workplace Confessionals. So start messaging in now about your workplace confessions. This is dodgy stuff you've got up to at work. Start off your tweet or your email with... forgive me, FUBAR, for I have sinned. Start off with that and try and keep it anonymous because we don't need to know. It's like a proper confessional. Of course, our Twitter is at FUBAR Radio. Email christmas@fubarradio.com. We've got weird news coming up. Weird news. You do one.
Weird news.
Oh, I liked news at the end there. What did you think, Natomatic?
I liked it a lot.
That was news, weird.
It was like you swallowed it.
Yeah. I'm a trained actor.
News. How did you do that?
It's just amazing, isn't it?
Yeah. Did you learn that at RADA?
Oh, yeah.
Did you do RADA?
No. I did Lambda, which is the other one.
Lambda.
It's kind of the the poor man's version. Yeah.
All right. Who's famous from Lambda apart from you? I don't mean that in a bad way. You've done some shit.
I'm not famous. The only thing I'm doing at the moment is an A.
I'm not saying you're famous. You're known. You're respected. That's what you are.
Nice,
you're respected.
Thanks, thank you.
By some people. me being one of them.
Thanks,
that's
Jared. Jared Christmas.
It's all right, mate. Seriously, is there no one... Weren't you in the same class as Benedict Cumberbatch?
Oh, yeah, Benedict Cumberbatch. Yeah, he's done all
Benedict
right.
Benedict Cumberbatch.
Who else is in there? There's quite a lot of people.
That can't be his real name.
Yeah, it is.
No.
It is.
No.
It is.
Used to call him Ben Cum for short, right?
No.
You didn't call him Ben Cum?
No, he was. That was his
opportunity.
Real name. Yeah, it's true. No, it was Benedict Cumberbatch. There were other people as well that went to Lambda. I can't think of them. But there are some other alumni.
Alumni.
Did you go to drama school?
No, I did, in New Zealand, I did like a foundation course for the New Zealand Drama School. The New Zealand Drama School, known in Māori as Toi Whakaari. And when I auditioned and got turned away, I call it Toi Fuckhardy. No, it was nice. Hmm. Yeah. Do you know what they got me to do in my audition? I was 18, and this is what I thought my life was going to be, was that I was going to go to New Zealand Drama School for 3 years, and I was going to come out of there, and I'd get on the New Zealand soap Shortland Street, and then it would be movies, and from then on. And all I thought I had to do was just show up, and this would happen. So anyway, I started doing stand-up whilst I was doing my sort of foundation course towards the New Zealand Drama School, and started realising that I bloody well loved that a hell of a lot more than speaking someone else's words and having someone boss me around, the director. And so I show up to this audition. I had two really emotional pieces to do. One about from a play called The Road.
Jim Cartwright.
Yeah, is it Jim Cartwright? Yeah. And I was playing the character, this guy who was starving himself to death in his bed. So I'd done that play, so I decided to do a monologue from that. And another one's from a great Australian play called Third World Blues about a returning Vietnam vet. Two very serious monologues, and I did them, and I thought I did them pretty well. And then the guy auditioning me said, "Oh, it says on your form here that you do stand-up comedy. Why don't you do that that suicide routine, you know, do it as a stand-up routine?"
Oh,
I was like, "Oh,
stuff.
You prick. Yeah. You prick. This is serious." So I tried, and it was awful. You know, even partway through, I just, you know, I don't know. I don't know if anybody's been in any experience where partway through they're like, "Oh, my God, can my anus suck me into it, please? Because I don't want to be here."
Yeah.
So it was horrendous. And then, but that night, I got my first ever paid stand-up gig. So I thought, fuck it, this is what I'm doing. Yeah.
That's done you well.
It's done all right.
Yeah.
I'm here now. I mean, I'm not in movies, but I'm here.
Yeah.
I'm here. I wouldn't have got in movies anyway.
No.
I don't think I've got the discipline.
Who watches them anymore, anyway?
No one. They pirate them. Be in movies, but it'd be poor because of all the pirates out there. Arr, we want to see Mission Impossible for free. Not that kind of pirate, I suppose. Now, a lot of people might be wondering, why start your show with Burning Down the House by Tom Jones? Because I think he's a ledge.
He is.
And I've been watching The Voice this year, and I'm really enjoying it. Previous years I haven't, and I'm putting that solely down to, like, Jessie J, she's all right, but it was that fucking idiot from the script. Oh.
But you know what? I'm going to, this might be a bit controversial, but this series, Kylie Minogue's doing my head in.
Really?
Yeah.
Whoa!
No, I'm serious. Like, she just does my, she just
Kylie kind of, does your head
well,
in?
Well, yeah.
How?
Oh, it's all a bit kind of, you know.
But that's what she's like.
No, I don't think
she's so sweet.
I think she is sweet, but she's trying to be this kind of, like, wacky.
No, she's not trying to be wacky
at
all.
But she runs around the chair and goes, "Oh, look at me, I'm sort of..."
She's got energy, mate.
Yeah. Yeah, I suppose so. I don't like it. Don't like it. Sorry.
Have you ever liked her?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's just on this program, I've been disappointed. My wife's like a massive fan, and sort of, and we watch it every Saturday.
Yeah.
Because we're bored.
Right.
And we I had to actually had said to her in the last episode, I was like, I've got to say this. I think she's a bit of a, you know.
What did your wife say?
She kind of went, yeah.
Oh no.
Yeah.
Oh no.
Why do you like her?
I like Kylie.
Yeah.
I like Kylie. I'm loving Will I Am.
He's wicked, yeah.
He's really good. And last Saturday, when he got a bit emotional, that was
a bit weird.
No, mate.
Come on.
I only watched it last night. I've been too busy, so I TiVo'd it. And I watched it last night, and I was sitting on the couch by myself, blubbering, as my wife was on the phone to her mum or something. And my wife said to her mum, "Hold on, I think Jared's crying." And she said, "Are you all right?" And I went, "Yes." And then she realised I was watching The Voice. And so she said to my mother-in-law, "Oh, he's watching The Voice." I did get really emotional at that point. But then I kind of thought, why didn't you put her through?
Yeah.
She was quite an amazing
Her
singer.
Story was sad. It was just the fact that Will I Am was great. If people haven't been watching this is making no sense at
I
all.
I haven't, so you could explain it a bit. Yeah.
What was the actual story? She came in and said...
Okay, so this woman, she's about 61. She came on, she sang a song. She'd grown up in adoptive... parent times, and the one woman who she thinks of as mum passed away 2 weeks earlier. But anyway, she goes out and sings this incredible song and sings it beautifully. So much emotion in it as well. You know when you're watching someone and you're listening, you know what they're saying means something to them. And that's, you know, they bang on about that on The Voice and you don't often hear it.
Yeah.
You know, they're like, oh, we knew that song meant something to you. Do you know what I mean? And I'm sitting there going, eh, whatever. But this one, I was like, wow, she's tapping into shit here. Yeah. And then Will.i.am turned around and said, you remind me of my auntie. And then he broke down crying because his auntie passed away.
No, Bruce.
Might be
cynical.
Yeah, you are a
bit. No, I thought it was, she was amazing, but when he for no reason just cried. It's like, it'd be like Heidi going, oh, Christ, my dog died 2 weeks. I mean, it's got nothing to do with...
No.
Her.
Are you saying that songs can't tap into an emotional...
Yeah, but it's the fact that he slightly jumped on the bandwagon of her emotion.
Yeah, but no, because her emotion tapped into his emotion.
Okay, all right.
And what annoyed me was that he didn't hit his button.
Yeah.
But then part of me was thinking, if it made you that emotional, you probably wouldn't want to be dealing with that on a day-to-day basis. But because his auntie passed away and his grandmother had passed away, you know, all within the last year. But he cited one lyric when she says, I'm so scared. There's a lyric in it where she said, I'm so scared. And he said that was the bit. He was struggling not to cry from that bit. And you know what it's like when you get really emotional?
Yeah, I do. I.
And then you're suddenly talking about it and you don't, you're thinking, I can hold on to this, but in talking about it, it all comes out.
Do you find that when you watch The Voice, me and my wife become like experts in singing, like you'll be hearing someone and you'll be like, that's the wrong key for her. Do you know what I mean?
Do you know what I say a lot to my wife? I was like, I don't know if this is good or not.
Because yes, I know what you mean.
I can't sing. I wish I could sing, but I can't sing. Well, you know, everyone can sing. But when I sing, people would rather I don't.
Right.
and part of me would rather I don't as well. Bloody love lip syncing, don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
Love miming along to a track. And so now I'm really nervous to, like, judge anyone else.
But you do become an expert. It's like we're even watching the Winter Olympics, watching the curling. Like, I'll start watching it, don't have a clue about the rules. After 10 minutes, I'm like, nah, she's pushed that too hard.
Yeah.
That's too hard. Too much weight on that.
Yeah.
You can rap, though. You could do... That's not singing. The rapping's all
right,
isn't it?
Yeah, but it requires rhythm.
Oh, that's true, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, I don't have vocal rhythm. Every now and then I think I have dance rhythm.
You do. I've seen you salsa'd last time on the last show.
Yeah, that's true. But, you know, salsa, you can kind of get away with that because you just move really quickly and no one's going, well, that's not to the rhythm of them. And they forget how to speak. But we... like. The sitcom that Bruce and myself worked on, are we allowed to talk about what was in it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You haven't mentioned what it is. Are you allowed to do that?
Yeah, of course.
It's in a second series,
Up the Woman.
Isn't it?
Yeah. It's Up the Woman. It'll be on BBC Two.
BBC Two, yeah.
I think the first series played out on BBC Four.
We can say this because we're guests. I honestly think it's going to be good.
Yeah, I think it's a great show.
Yeah. She's brilliant, yeah. Jessica Hines.
The first series was good. I saw the first series.
I've heard nothing but good reports about that first series.
Yeah.
So hopefully they're going to replay the first series again.
So people can see it.
Yeah, and then go into the second. But we played two New Zealanders on the New Zealand lawn bowls team. And so on set we had an indoor bowling green. And everyone just got really competitive about it, didn't they? And you were pretty good.
I got quite good. I remember when we were actually doing it, it's in front of a studio audience, and I actually said to you, no one's even looking at the ball, though. The shot's just on our faces.
Yeah.
She said to Jared during a take, the weight's on the right, just set it out to the left. He just looked at me going, who cares?
But it was good, though. It was good advice. And then this one of the crew came in because they wanted to get shots of the ball going in, and this guy had some bowls experience. And so he's sort of lining up, and I was constantly giving him shit, and I was mic'd. So the audience was laughing because I was going, yeah, no pressure, mate, all that sort of thing. And he kind of fluffed it a couple of times. But then I had to bowl and felt a huge amount of pressure because I was like, I've just been the prick giving this guy pressure. And the last bowl of the day, bloody nailed it. Got the little white jack, got that, nailed it. But no one saw it because they were too busy watching
the sitcom.
Watching the sitcom, yeah. So that was a bit of revenge. Hey, this has been a long bit of banter at the top. Long bit of banter. I hope you're still with us. I know we started off with sex offending and paedophiles, and now somehow we got onto lawn bowls.
That's a hell of a journey.
We have run the gambit of conversation on this one. So let's hear some music. It's Hand in Your Head by Money Mark. Enjoy, everybody. Enjoy. You know what I call that? Good times in your ear hole. That's what I call that. I mean, it's got an official name, but that I really enjoyed that going into my ears. Money Mark. Not money.
It's Money. He has got money. He's got a lot of money now.
Money. Money. What is that song?
Billy Idol did it once. It's Money. It's Money.
Money. Did you ever do that extra bit to it?
What bit?
In New Zealand, that song got, you know, when I was at school, that song got banned from school discos because of the extra bit people would put in. Because it would go, money. There was an extra bit. I can't remember where it goes. But we would all shout out, hey, motherfucker, get laid, get fucked. Fit in nicely. In like Queens, We Will Rock You.
Yeah.
We will rock you, fuck you, stick it right up you. Yeah. And so we used to do that as well, and that one got banned.
Do you know the Queen song, Don't Stop Me Now? That's about masturbating. Sorry to bring
is
the tone
it?
Up. Yeah, and my mate had it was his first dance at a wedding, and he was talking about it, and my other mate said, you know, that's about masturbating.
No,
he was
like, are you taking this from what your mate said?
No. What do you mean?
I'm going to Google it. Google it. You keep talking, I'm going to Google it.
All right, he didn't know it, and he said, oh, sorry. He's like, no, that's about wanking.
What?
And he's like, my first dance at a wedding, we sung to a song about wanking. And he's like, yeah. Listen, Jared, if I'm telling a lie, I've been told one. He's actually crunching away on the keyboard.
I suppose he is saying, I'm having such a good
return.
Time, I'm having a... Which makes sense.
Okay,
but
here it comes. Song facts. Queen song facts. I hope it's right. It sounds good.
Don't stop me now, I'm having such a good time. I'm having a ball. Don't stop me
now. I'm Googling
it. Brian May didn't really like the song.
Oh.
The song was used in... No. Oh. UK chart at the beginning. No. Nowhere does it say that it's about wanking.
Piss on my bonfire.
Freddie Mercury wrote the song in Montreux, Switzerland. He did both the words and the music.
I will find out.
Look, I reckon, you know, message us. If you've heard this story, Don't Stop Me Now, is about wanking, then go for it.
Yeah.
Maybe any other sort of background info anybody knows about? Certain songs.
Yeah.
You know, that might be quite interesting. Yeah. Because that is... I mean, when you break the lyrics down, I can understand it.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, but who's he singing it to? Because wanking usually...
Who's trying to stop
away.
Him? Why is he saying, don't stop me now?
It's his mum. Did his mum walk in and he's like, don't stop me now. I'm having such a good time. I'm playing my balls. And the mum's like, oh, Freddie. I need to clean that sock. So
clean that sock?
I don't know. I've just got a message come through saying this is such early stages, but Carl Urban, who's a New Zealand actor, says that the writer Alex Garland has had conversations with Lionsgate about making a sequel to Judge Dredd. Fingers crossed, everyone. Did you see Judge Dredd?
I didn't, no.
I saw Judge Dredd.
I did. I liked it. Well, not. I liked his version, not the Sylvester Stallone one.
Oh, can someone, if anyone out there actually liked the Sylvester Stallone one, message us, because I'd like to meet you. They took the mask off. That's a no-no of all the judges. I thought it was really good. It was quite one of those weird synergy things that Judge Dredd came out at the same time as The Raid. And they were both about police assaulting a tower block controlled by criminals and fighting floor to floor. Have you seen The Raid?
I haven't seen either.
Oh. Bruce, be Bruce, be Ruche. As Carl Donne would put it, be Ruche. That's going to stick, isn't it? Be
Ruche. I think it will now, yeah.
Yeah, it's better than Brucey...
Brewster Rooster
or whatever it is.
Hey, you haven't done your catchphrase yet.
Brucey Magoosey.
Jaredy Jared.
Jaredy James. Yo, what's up, man?
Do you know that's on the app? I looked at that yesterday. There's a video of it on the app.
Yeah, we filmed it. Oh.
Sorry. I don't know where that came from. all right. Well, hey, that was a bit of news, but it wasn't weird news.
Weird.
So we've got a couple of weird news items here. While you're firing that bad boy up, the New Zealand Prime Minister was forced to confirm that he is not an alien. Now, this is a great little story. Basically, an Auckland guy, an Auckland man, Shane Warbrook, made a Freedom of Information request asking for any evidence to disprove the theory that Mr. John Key, who is the Prime Minister of New Zealand, you all know who he is, one of the most powerful men in the world, is in fact a David Icke-style shape-shifting reptilian alien ushering humanity towards enslavement. Mr. Key, the Prime Minister of New Zealand, responded, and he said, "I've taken the unusual step of not only seeing a doctor, but a vet, and both have confirmed I'm not a reptile," he told a press pack in Parliament House. Never been in a spaceship, never been in outer space, and my tongue's not overly long either. And I like that he's gone, it's not overly long, but it is long.
Yeah, yeah. Ladies.
And basically, it's forked.
I think the English politicians are so boring. That would never happen.
I know. They would never respond to that sort of thing. But Mr. Warbrook is a writer and a musician. He said he posed the question as a joke alongside other more serious requests as part of his research into UFOs. I think you get that a bit down in New Zealand. Before I left New Zealand way back in 2000, when I moved over here, a big news story was a politician got drunk and swam in a fountain and was photographed, and he had silk boxer shorts on, right? Now, this is the thing, right? He was a politician who was drunk in public, swam in a public fountain, and just as boxer shorts, right? There's so much wrong with that, but what did the media pick up on? He's getting paid so much, he can afford silk boxer shorts.
That's brilliant. There's just like there was an Aussie politician who was in this massive financial turmoil and big sort of story over there. And there's a news footage of him coming out of his offices and all the press came, blah, blah. And one journalist says, "Mr. Sanchez, if you made a different decision, would it have changed the way the story's come out?" And he went, "Oh, if my auntie had nuts, she'd be my uncle." And he just got in a car and walked off. This is like a senior politician. Can you imagine Gordon Brown?
If. That's such a great... If my auntie had nuts, she'd be my uncle. But this is what I love about... You know, New Zealanders do it as well, but Australians are really good at coming out with just bizarre phrases that sum things up perfectly. You know, there's that quite a common Aussie phrase of, "I'm not here to fuck spiders." Do you know what I mean?
I didn't know that.
The first time I heard it was this Aussie guy was cooking at a barbecue, and I went, "You're doing the barbecue?" And he went, "Yeah, I'm not here to fuck spiders." Which is, it pretty much just means, yeah, I'm doing the job that I'm here to do.
Brilliant.
Do you know what I mean? I've worked on with a camera guy who was Aussie, and I heard him say it at one point when someone questioned what he was, "Well, I'm not here to fuck spiders. Of course I'm going to zoom in on that."
That's fantastic.
It's kind of like a no-nonsense sort of...
Yeah.
I'll try and think of some more, but I like that. If my auntie had nuts.
But from a politician, under pressure.
I know. It's good, isn't it?
It's brilliant.
Because what annoyed me over here was when Gordon Brown, his microphone was left up, and he said about that woman being a bigot.
Yeah.
Because she was.
Yeah.
But then he ended up apologising to her and going around to her house. And you're like, well, mate, that's lost you the election. Yeah. Because, you know, why do you need bigots voting for you anyway? You should have said, "I called her a bigot because she's a bigot."
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Well, I would have voted for him. It wouldn't have made a lick of difference.
Yeah. So I'm serious. This is like news.
Well,
mate,
we've already covered.
Yeah.
Let's look at what we have covered, shall we?
Sex offenders.
Sex offenders.
Orphans.
Orphans.
Fucking spiders.
Fucking spiders.
We shouldn't really be swearing, should we? We're allowed to, we are allowed to
swear. We are, yeah. But let's not do it too
much. But we're sex offenders.
Sex offenders. A Judge Dredd.
Judge Dredd.
Cover Judge Dredd.
Lawn bowling.
Lawn bowls. Curling.
Acting schools. We
discussed acting
that.
Schools.
Yeah, we did that.
This is...
And now politics. We're getting right into politics.
And it's only half four.
I know. We're like the one show on cocaine. So what's the other weird news?
This is Streets with Rude... This is in the Express. Streets with rude-sounding names like... Well, basically, I'll tell you before I reveal the names.
Right.
House prices are £84,000 cheaper on rows with rude names. And this, they've done an actual survey. And the actual, like, there's two houses on Crotch Crescent.
Yes.
Turkey Cock Lane.
Bell End. Yes,
Bell End! And then, this is my favourite, The Knob.
The Knob.
And so basically there's like top 15 houses, but they really genuinely have. But I don't understand that. Like, it wouldn't bother me to live on a place like that. It's fine,
you'd
isn't it?
Be constantly having to get letters to The Knob. You'd have to open it up with your willy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But like 85 grand, that's a good...
Yeah, but, you know, if you're having to get a load of correspondence, do you know what I mean? Tell people, you'd constantly have to be dealing with that.
Yeah, well, in fact, here, retired Annie Gray, 60, who moved from Ludford from Croydon, said that if you're ever ordering anything and tell people your address, as soon as you say Fanny, they know exactly where you mean. So she's all right.
She's all right. About 5 years ago, a town in Sweden tried to get their name changed because they said it was affecting tourism and stuff like that. And the name of this place is Fuckby. But it's Swedish, so it's F-J-U-K-B-Y or something. It's Fuckby. And they say that's affecting their tourism. Because on the internet, there's just loads of photos of people standing in front of the town name, Fuckby.
Welcome to Fuckby, yeah.
Yeah, but these ridiculous names over here. I've done jokes on a place near Bristol called Buttcomb.
Yeah.
I need one, so. Knocked on a lot of doors, they don't have any. And, you know, said that to a guy the other day, and he said it's not pronounced Buttcomb, it's pronounced Buttcum. It's even worse, mate. In Scotland, isn't there's a twat?
I think so.
Down south somewhere, there's Upper Dicker and Lower Dicker.
There's Cockadobby in Sandhurst, Berkshire. Cumming Street. In Islington, London.
Brilliant.
Yeah. We've gone down lowbrow again, haven't we?
Well, let's bring it up
let's
again.
Let's bring it up.
Let's bring it up again because we've talked about lowbrow roads.
This is good.
How about we play the Broken Bells, the High Road? That's what we're taking from now on, mate.
We're not here to fuck spiders.
The High Road, Broken Bells. I've just had to Google some Aussie sayings because my parents now live in Australia, and my mum used to always say when we were kids things like "You're about as useful as tits on a bull." Get your A into G. Arse into gear.
Nice.
Get your A into G. I never used to think. I thought that was an acceptable thing to say. I never knew that A stood for arse. So I used to try. I said it at school a couple of times and got in trouble. I got in trouble at school for telling a joke. This is when I was about 7. My older brother told me a joke, and then the next day at school, every morning we had show and tell, and I got up and told this joke. Do you guys want to?
Yeah. Yep. Okay. Strap in.
Do you want to hear the joke?
Yeah,
my parents were called into the school. Right. I'm 7 years old. This is the joke I tell. A businessman is going away on business and he's leaving his wife at home. So he puts a Band-Aid over his wife's vagina and goes away on business. And 3 weeks later, he comes back and he takes the Band-Aid off his wife's vagina and it had sealed up. It had healed up. Because, you know, Band-Aids.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say it was a good joke, but I can remember the look on my teacher's face when I said Band-Aid over her vagina. I got in a lot of trouble for that. Good root and a fart would kill him. That's another one of their sayings.
What's the rocking horse one you said?
Yeah. That's as scarce as rocking horse shit. We're going to put them into a sentence. Ask me, is the paint on the outside of the house dry yet?
Hey, is the paint on the outside of that house dry?
About as dry as a dead dingo's donger.
Hey, that antique chair looks really rare and scarce.
Well, if it could shit, it would be even scarcer.
Are you meant to say it's scarce as rocking horse shit?
Yeah, but you've just given away, you've just said that it's scarce and it's a rocking horse.
No, I didn't. I said that antique chair was scarce. That could have worked.
Oh, I ruined
you
it for you.
Do
it again. Do it again. Sorry.
Should we do it again?
Let's just rewind the shape.
Okay.
Yep. Yep. All right.
Hey,
go.
That antique chair looks scarce.
Scarcer than a rocking horse's shit.
Oh, it's gone. That it's
improv
gone.
Class isn't going very it's well,
gone.
Is it?
No. Yeah. I got to go to the toilet. Got to go and give birth to a politician. I'm not pissing in your pocket, mate. I'm telling you the truth. That's a good one.
We were talking. Remember, we're talking about this is quite an English thing. So this is what I love about the Australian and New Zealand kind of thing. This works with that accent.
Yeah.
There's an English thing about. It's based on. I think it's just. Well, it's an old thing, but it Profanosaurus, the dictionary of
oh, yep.
terms, come up with it. But if you fart,
yeah,
and then you have to say something, it's kind of like like etiquette, polite society. So if someone farts, you go, and the address? And that is unique to English people, and there's
yeah,
a
yeah.
whole list of them. So if someone farts, you go, that works, now try the lights.
Yeah, I like that one. I like that one.
You've ripped that, now you're going to have to pay for it.
God.
But interestingly, no one else finds, like, very few other countries, like, I don't want to be too xenophobic, but,
I'd never heard those until you tell me.
Yeah. But I think English and Antipodean sense of humor are quite similar, but I think a German, I don't want to be, you know, too judgmental, but they'd be like, and the address?
Germans don't fart. They just store it up inside, and then once every 100 years or so, they all massively fart together. And we have World War One and Two.
Is that true?
Whoa, yeah, that statement was dicier than a nun's nasty. No. He had a head on him like a sucked mango. That's pretty good. Got you by the short and curlies. Happy as a bastard on Father's Day. That's pretty good, isn't it?
Yeah.
Guys, I gotta leave. I'm off like a bride's nightie. Well, we've kind of spoken about Australia. That's a foreign country. Germany is a foreign country.
Nice link.
Yeah. What we should talk about now is the Johnny Foreigner section. Let's play a song. This song features singers from another nation. It's a fantastic song. Everyone knows this song. It's Paul Simon with
Ladysmith Black
Mamboza.
Mamboza.
Yeah.
It's such a good track, isn't
Brilliant.
It?
Brilliant.
Such a good track. Should we talk about it before or after it?
Let's talk about it.
Let's hear it, shall we?
Let's hear it.
I don't know, guys.
Okay.
Maybe we should talk about it for ages and then just never play it.
Okay, we could. That's an option. That's always an option.
It'll really, really annoy people. No, we are going to play it. Here it is. Enjoy. Diamonds on the sole of her shoes. Paul Simon there. Didn't quite fulfil
no.
my Johnny Foreigner remit.
That's slightly my fault, I think.
I'm not blaming anyone. I'm not blaming anyone. Because you know what? That's a great track. So it doesn't really matter. Oh, Paul Simon, eh?
Mm.
He went out. Am I wrong? Did he go out with Carrie Fisher for a bit?
Yeah, he did.
No.
He did, yeah.
And also, him and Art Garfunkel, apparently, they
did
hated
it. Did
yeah,
it.
Yeah, they did.
They did it
yeah.
on stage in front of loads of people. Apparently they hated
it. Yeah, well, no. They used to have massive rows.
Yeah.
And there was times when they wouldn't sing together on stage. Like, there was gigs where... And one of them, and I can't remember who, I think it's Paul Simon, hated Bridge Over Troubled Water and would leave the stage whenever Art Garfunkel
But that's
sung
the
it.
One song that yeah. was what they needed.
I know.
Oh, Paul Simon. But I love... If You'll Be My Bodyguard...
That you can one. Call me out.
You can call me out. The one with Chevy Chase in the video clip.
Yeah.
That's so
good.
That
is good. A good song.
Nice.
And supposedly with that video clip, Paul Simon showed up to shoot the video clip and didn't like what the director had come up with, so fired him. But then they realised, we need to do this music video today.
Awkward.
So he called up Chevy Chase.
Mm.
And said, you know, you're free. And Chevy Chase jumped in a car and, you know, tried to learn as many of the lyrics as possible on the way over to
really?
Where they were filming. Yeah. And so everything he does in there is all improvised and just they both come up with it as they were going. Yeah,
good pop trivia, man.
I learned that from watching that program.
Songs of Praise.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. What was the one that
Snooker UK Championships?
Yes. And then the other one where you'd watch it and it would come up with it would pop up with facts during the music video.
It's called pop-up video.
It was called pop-up
video. Yeah, I liked that.
I learned that from watching that.
Ah.
Pop-up video.
Pop-up video.
I don't think that was the
theme song.
The thing.
We're doing themes later, aren't we?
Yeah. You hold on tight.
Sorry,
champ. You hold on tight. Now it's time for Anecdote. Andrew Bird came up with this game, and I love it. We played it for the first time yesterday. Essentially, you've got to tell an anecdote that, let's be honest, a lot of us do, that is just pointless. It's there's no point to it whatsoever, and that's why it's called an anecdote. But let's anecdo it.
You going first?
Yeah, I'll go first.
Okay.
So last week, I went to an ATM machine, and I put my card in and entered in my PIN, and that was all fine. And I checked my balance on the screen. I don't see any point in... Okay, one of the rules is you can't laugh.
Sorry, it's just the look on your face.
Close your eyes.
Okay, this is the new rule. This is the new rule. The person telling the anecdote can't laugh, and the people listening can't laugh. And if you do, we have to start the anecdote right from the start again.
Okay, all right. I'm not gonna look at you.
Own best interest.
All right.
Okay,
so you could be here all day.
So no laughing.
Right, I'm not looking at you.
I'm going to make this as bland as possible.
Okay.
Okay, so last week I went to the ATM machine and I put my card in and I entered in my PIN. That was all fine. And then I checked my balance on the screen. I don't see the point in getting the paper out. I know sometimes it says that there's a promotion on the back of the...
Stop. Because of it, it's the sidelines to it. It's the
detail.
I know. It's the way it goes off, forks off into a little cul-de-sac. This cul-de-sac.
I've got to start it again
down.
Now.
Right. Do it again.
No laughing.
Sorry.
Don't even look at Dad, please.
No, I wasn't looking at him. It's the side bit.
Okay. Stop it.
Right.
Okay, this is a serious anecdote.
Okay.
So last week I went to an ATM machine. I put my card in, entered my PIN, and that was all fine. And then I went to look at my balance, and I did balance on screen. I don't see the point in printing out the little slip because, you know, that's just adding more waste to the world. Even though sometimes there's promotions on the back that can come in handy. Someone once said they got a Pizza Express 2-for-1 voucher that way, but I've yet to see that. But then again, I don't get the slips, so I probably never will. But balance comes up on the screen. I'm over my overdraft, but I've got room to move. Okay, so I think I'll get some money out. I got pretty excited about that. I wanted to get £60 out because it's always in £20 denominations, apart from one machine near Waterloo Station where you can get £5 notes out. I think they put it there for the students. And so I tried to get £60 out, and then the machine said there's no money in the machine. It's run out of money, but you can check your balance. That's what it said.
It's Bruce's turn, yeah? Anyway.
That is
an anecdote.
The Pizza Express.
2-for-1. I don't know if that's true. But sometimes they do have something on the back, don't they?
Yeah. But it's those bits in the story that it's just...
Like yeah, but they're
when
not
you
funny.
Listen,
they're
exactly, just... but when you hear someone talking, you're going, just ignore it, edit it, just cut it, move on.
But that's what makes it an anecdote.
I know, but that's what I found so
because you get really drawn, you're kind of going,
yeah.
Why do I need to know this information?
Yeah, yeah.
Because that could be, that truthfully happened to me, and I could have told you that, like, I went to the cash machine to get money out, but there was no cash in the money machine.
Yeah.
And that would have been done.
Yeah.
But we'd be playing a song and it would be be the end. So maybe we should just play a song.
Let's play a song.
FUBAR! You're listening to Jared Christmas. Jaredy James. Yeah, what's up, man? Biruche.
Hello. I don't have a catchphrase.
You need a catchphrase. And Natomatic.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's your catchphrase as well. Top of the hour, 1701. Good year. Good year. We've got a couple of texts and massages coming in. Gav has texted in, I have a tattoo of Sly as Dread on my thigh.
I am the law.
Sly as Dread rules. Can you give a shout out to the guys in the Penrith Mail Sorting Office? We are listening in the office. Here's the shout out. Hi, guys.
Hi, guys.
Hi, Penrith Mail Sorting Office. Sort that shit out, yeah? Sort the shit out of that mail. And if you're genuinely listening right now, can one of you just rub one of the letters on your groin area? Just give it a quick little rub and then sort it. Let me know you've done that. Thank you. And the next message is, I'm not sure if Anecdote is the best radio segment I've ever heard or the worst. LOL. Well, it's an experiment, isn't it? We'll soon find out. So thank you for listening, I guess. Thanks, guys, for listening. We're at the top of the hour. Oh, so we've got coming up, of course, we've got the Bullshit Detector. We've got Kiwi Flavour, where I introduce y'all to some Kiwi music. Workplace Confessional. We've had a few coming through, so we're building up a backlog of workplace confessions. And, of course, we've got Song Battle.
That was my silencer.
Was that the silencer again?
Yeah.
Okay. Really?
Yeah. Is that that's right?
I don't know. I think maybe we should start doing it by time frame. Like
period.
And, period. Oh. That's the word I was after.
Yeah, yeah.
I said time frame and you said period. Yeah. Tell you one thing I've learnt, you can't ride a menstrual cycle. So, it's related somehow. Anyway, enough of what my dad taught me. So what, Natomatic, mm-hmm. Give us a period of... I'll list some wars, and you tell me which one you'd like us to theme our song battle weaponry and sound effects upon. Okay, let's go for the Battle of Agincourt. Okay. What about the Crimean War?
Nice.
Yeah, it was a good one. Charge of the Light Brigade. Yeah.
Vietnam? Might get a bit racist now.
No, you don't need to be racist.
I'm not saying I'm going to be, but it just...
How are you going to be? You're only doing gun noises.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
How can you be gay? Oh, my God, that gun noise was so Asian. Oh, my God. Crimean Boer War? Boer War. That was good. Okay. First war that used smokeless gunpowder. There you go.
God.
That's why the Boers were so difficult for the British Army to find. Because they used to have observers who could spot the artillery cannon smoke.
Yeah.
But a German scientist created smokeless gunpowder for it and gave it to the Boers to use.
Really?
Yeah, and that
I
was
bet you're really good in a pub quiz.
No, I'm not at all. I crumble under the pressure.
Do you?
Yeah, totally.
You've got good trivia, I've noticed. I've only known you a couple of weeks. But
Only on war. Only on war. So what was that? The Boer War? War of the Roses? No, that was ages ago.
The Hundred Years War?
The Hundred Years War. That actually only lasted for about 62.
Are they more options?
Oh, the Six Day War? Yeah.
What was that?
That was the one where a lot of the Arab nations like Egypt and stuff decided to attack Israel, but Israel got wind of it and then kicked the shit out of them before they even began.
Right.
Yeah, and it lasted 6 days. Okay. And that's where all this Gaza Strip sort of stuff has come from.
You really do know your stuff.
I'm not really. I know half my stuff and deliver it with confidence.
Right.
Is that enough? Is that enough? There's a lot.
There's a lot going on there. Thermopylae.
There's a lot of cross weaponry going on.
That one as well. Thermopylae. The Persians versus the Spartans.
Okay. Well, it's hard. So hard to choose which.
It is. I mean, they were all such classics.
But I think I'm going to go Crimean actually.
Crimean War. That's the Charge of the Light Brigade.
Yeah.
So all right. Muskets.
No, cannon. No. Well, yeah, muskets, cannon. Okay, why don't I be the horses?
All right, I'll be the cannon.
Or the light brigade, and you be the cannon.
Yeah, so I've got to light it and do... Yeah, okay, all right.
Yeah, hold on, all right.
Okay.
Sally forth, old bean! Charge!
Song battle.
That's nice. So then we're going to keep the crime in today, are we?
So we'll definitely stick with
it. That's a long jingle.
Now I'm starting to panic that the charge of the Light Brigade was not the Crimean War.
Have a look.
If I'm wrong, someone please pull me up on it. If I am totally wrong, someone please pull me up on it. Please. Yeah, Crimean War, that's the that was the Russians, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Sure,
sure it's there. Okay.
They would have laughed us out of the battlefield if we turned up with a horse and a cannon.
Yeah. So, really?
And a box of matches.
So we're on song battle. Oh, don't
Let's
do
not
it all
do
again.
It. No, no, no.
Today's song battle is between theme songs for TV shows. Now, I have gone for the theme track from The Wire. I think this version of it is from series 1 or 2.
It is.
If you walk through the garden, you better watch your back.
That is Way Down in the Hole by the Blind Boys of Alabama.
That is
great.
Good.
That is great. And what have you gone for, mate?
Well, I thought I'd go sort of stick with my 80s, 90s theme, rather. When we did the last battle we did, I did Guns N' Roses. I've gone for the Baywatch theme.
I don't want to sound sexist or anything like that, but whenever I hear that song, I just think of Pamela Anderson's boobs.
I know, so do I.
And I think, I don't know if it's a happy song or that's what makes me happy.
Oh, well, I was at boarding school and we were only allowed to watch TV on Saturday night. And I remember we used to watch, like literally that was the one time we were allowed to watch TV, and we used to watch Gladiators. You remember Gladiators on ITV?
Gladiators!
Yeah.
Ready!
And then Baywatch. And it was like, I can still remember the excitement.
It was a great night of TV.
Oh, it was just brilliant. Like, the hours leading up to it, we'd just be like, my God! And they'd unlock the TV. I mean, it's so draconian, isn't it?
Yeah.
They'd unlock the box, there would be the TV, and then the theme for Baywatch come on. And in the credits, there's another bit of trivia, there's a guy in the back of shot doing a Mooney.
No.
As David Hasselhoff is running. And if you look it up on YouTube, you'll see in the back of shot, there's a guy in the beach, obviously, when they're filming it, and it got through.
Really?
Yeah.
Is he doing a Mooney or is he just getting changed on the beach?
No. He's standing in the sea deliberately. Obviously, the camera crew are going along with David Hasselhoff. And he bends over and reveals his bare ass.
No, that image still hasn't got rid of Pamela Anderson's boots. I mean, that's a great track. It's ingrained in a lot of us and it's got a lot of visuals to go. But, you know, The Wire was a fantastic TV show. And, you know, this is a cool song.
If you walk through the garden, you better watch your back.
That is good. Yeah. It just makes me want to start tapping some phones.
Yeah. I'm just thinking
tapping some ass.
Selling
TV
some drugs.
Shows. Baywatch and The Wire couldn't be more different.
I don't think you could get much more different than Baywatch and The Wire.
No.
That's like going, that's like doing a song battle between the theme song of Saved by the Bell.
Yeah.
And a dispatches program about the foreign policy of Iran.
Yeah.
come on, let's think of some more extremes. But we mentioned Different Strokes before. What would be like the most extreme? So that's like a song battle between Different Strokes. What you talk about, Willis? And The Bridge.
The Bridge, yeah. Although they're quite nice. I like the documentary angle. Different Strokes and a cutting-edge documentary on the Middle East peace process.
But maybe you need to swap them over because I think the Middle East needs a lot more people going, what you talk about, Abdul? Are you allowed to say that?
He died 2 years ago, Gary Coleman.
Gary Coleman, 2 years ago. That's the only thing people know of that show now, which is a shame.
He used to be a bouncer, didn't he, towards the end of...
Oh, yeah, he did, didn't he?
Yeah, he was a bouncer.
His parents stole all
Gary,
his money, didn't
yeah,
they?
So
that's right,
work.
Yeah.
Yeah. He should have divorced his mum and dad like Macaulay Culkin did. That's worked out for him, hasn't
it? Yeah, it did. I think Drew Barrymore did that as well.
Drew Barrymore didn't, did she?
I think she did. Emancipated.
She did.
Yes.
She did.
Mm.
Wow. And the only one out of all of them who's doing really well is Drew Barrymore.
Mm.
Is she?
Yeah, come on. She was in that Adam Sandler film.
Wedding Singer.
She
was in that.
But also the one where 50 First Date. Mm. I like that film.
That.
Charlie's Angels. She's in
Charlie's Angels, With
Cameron Diaz.
Cameron Diaz and Lucy Liu.
Mm.
Yeah. Right. Lucille Liu. And unless you're talking about the follow-up, Full Throttle, where Demi Moore appeared as well.
And no Bill Murray in that one, was there? So that was...
No Bill Murray. They swapped Bill Murray for... Oh, he just passed away recently.
Was it Bernie Mac?
Bernie Mac. I ain't scared of you motherfuckers! He's got... There's a great clip of Bernie Mac that you've got to check out of him doing Kings of Comedy Tour. And the story behind the clip is that the crowd are just tearing comedians apart, just heckling and destroying them. And a lot of people, a lot of the comics are like, oh, this is pretty full on out there. And Bernie Mac just goes out there, and the first thing he says to them is, I ain't scared of you motherfuckers. And then he just lays into some jokes. And after each punchline, he goes, kick it! And then the DJ just plays a blast of just like, ding, ding, tick, tick. And Bernie Mac's just dancing away. And he's got these pictures, faces on his jeans, and you start wondering, what? And it's his own face on his jeans. He's got his own face on his jeans. And my favourite joke that he does on it is he goes, woman always come up to me and say, Bernie. And I say, yeah, that's my name. And they say, Bernie, does pussy taste like pumpkin pie? And I say, damn, I don't know. I ain't tasted no pumpkin pie. Kick it.
he was in Bad Santa, Bernie Mac. I love that film.
Oh, that's
that
a great film.
Yes.
He was in the Transformers film, first film as well. He's the one who sells Bumblebee to Shia LaBeouf. Arguably gets the whole thing started.
Yeah.
That's old Bernie Mac there. Bernie Mac attack. He passed away. But this is... Jeez, I could have said
lovely
that so
obituary.
Much better. So it's between... And...
If you walk through the garden...
I think you've got
this one up. It's The Wire versus Baywatch. It is... God, what's his name? Idris Elba versus David Hasselhoff.
Yeah.
I mean, I know if it was a physical fight, which money I would
put
down.
Well, no, you don't know that.
Look, if it was a...
The Hoff...
Who can drunkenly eat a hamburger?
Yeah.
Then definitely money on the Hoff. But Idris Elba, come on, that guy...
He is cool as hell.
That guy saved planet Earth with giant machines when monsters were invading.
Mm.
Yeah, what film is that? Anybody?
Anybody.
Anybody? Anybody? Anybody?
No.
Anybody?
Anybody?
Let's play. That hasn't jogged your memory, has it? Idris Elba, massive robots, monsters.
If you walk through the garden, you better.
Are you serious? That none of you.
No, I know it.
Versus.
If you walk through the garden.
Prometheus.
Takes on.
If you walk through the garden, you better watch.
What is it?
What's this called?
Pacific Rim job.
Yeah, that's the one. Yeah.
God, I've had a Pacific Rim job. So I'm going to play a track. Everybody who's listening, I'm going to play a track. It's Papier Romance by Groovy Amanda.
Yeah.
And it's Paper Romance by Groove Armada. And as that song kicks in, that's when the voting's going to take place. So what you need to do, what to do now, open up your app, FUBAR app, open up the clap or slap section. We are clapping for The Wire, slapping for Baywatch. You'll have 30 seconds to clap or slap like crazy, and whoever gets the most claps or slaps wins song battle. And when I say, like, go, that's when it's time to go, okay? So I'm going to count you into it from five. I'm going to say, and when I get to, and then I'll say go, and then I'll play the track. I'm just making things absolutely clear, okay? Mm-hmm. It's clap or slap. Open up your app. Don't be a dap. Don't open up the bird that flaps.
Don't go for a crap.
Don't go for a crap on your iPad app.
Ooh.
Slap.
Gap.
Okay, we're doing rhymes now and dragging this out. So it's Baywatch versus The Wire, clap or slap. Just to remind you, clap The Wire, slap for Baywatch. Get your fingers ready in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, go! Paper Romance, Groove Armada. I tell you what, if Groove Armada had attacked the UK way back in the day instead of the Spanish Armada, I think A, they would have succeeded, and B, we'd all still be dancing.
We would.
Yeah.
We would. Beautiful.
Thank you. And it was Trafalgar who turned away the Spanish Armada, wasn't it? And then some of them retreated and then got washed up on the rocks. Is that right?
You love your wars, don't
it.
You?
Love really a bit of, love a bit of war.
Don't want to be involved in one.
No. But global conflict, you're all over it.
All over it like jizz in a bathtub.
Would that be your mastermind subject?
No, my mastermind subject, when I did that 3 years ago.
Did you do it?
Yeah, mastermind for children in need. Was Transformers Series 1. What's the presenter?
John Humphreys.
John Humphreys. So he's very well-spoken and very highly educated. And having him ask me... And look, this is the thing. I was up against Russell Kane, who was doing Evelyn Waugh novels. All right? Yeah, well done, Russell. Yeah? Thought you were a comic. So he's doing Evelyn Waugh novels. And he's saying to us, he's going... You know, I just thought to choose this one. You know, Evelyn Waugh. I'd read one book, so I thought maybe I'll just read another couple. Yeah. And I haven't done any research. And then he pulls out this whole stack of cheat notes, sort of thing. You're like, oh, whatever. There's another comic, Imran Yusuf. He was doing Jackie Chan.
Right.
And Karen Taylor, who's a great comedy sketch actor. She was doing Fred Dibner.
Who's that?
Oh,
the presenter who he presents something about trains, and he also was a weatherman or something.
No, I think that's, is that the same guy? I don't know.
Anyway, I did Transformers, and my favourite part of the show was when obviously John was asking me questions, and he, you know, he was asking me, you know, who's the second in command of the Decepticons? Easy, Starscream. You know, stuff like that.
Why was it just Series 1, though? Did you just think, oh, come on, I'm not going to be watching anything else?
Okay, so the thing is, with Series 1, there's, I think there was 12 episodes, all right? Series 2, okay, they merged the rest of what was meant to be Series 1 with Series 2. So Series 2 is like 35
episodes.
Yeah, but episodes.
Russell Kane didn't say Evelyn Waugh novels from 1973 to 1974, did he? He did Evelyn Waugh novels.
But because... The guy is borderline Asperger's or whatever it is, you know? But he's got the, like...
Asperger's?
The really intelligent part of it, do you know what I mean? So, you know, he just turned it into a whole, you know, like he can consume
it's mastermind. What do you expect him to do?
Transformers. Series 1. What's wrong with that?
It's quite specific. Anyway, yeah.
Transformers Series 1.
Yeah.
You definitely should have won that, then. It's only Series 1, which
yeah,
is
how did you do?
You definitely...
I'll tell you what. Russell Kane on Evelyn Waugh answered 18 out of 18 questions.
Right. Wow. Now
and
we're getting to the nub
Humpho, after that, revealed that on specialist subjects, they very rarely get past 15 questions. Like, he was asking the question, and Russell Kane was like... Like, straight after... You're not allowed to interrupt the question, but he, as soon as Humpho had just finished a word, boom, it was in. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I got 11 out of 14.
That's good.
It's pretty good. But my favourite question was when John Humphreys said to me, in the episode Invasion of the Insecticons team up with the Decepticons, but the Insecticons run out of Energon. Where did the Decepticons take the Insecticons to charge up on Energon? And he gave up on that question partway through. But we all know it was an oil rig. So so the results are in. The results are in for Song Battle. Versus!
If you walk through the garden.
And this was a close one, man. This was a very close one. First of all, I want to give big ups and props and that sort of stuff to Dominic Mintini for his top clapping and slapping. There's an option on the Clapping Slap app where you can be named if you want to be. This is the closest one we've had. 52.5%. Versus 47.5%. I know it's very, very close, but the winner
Of course.
Yeah, The Wire.
I didn't realise it'd be that close.
I didn't think it'd be that close. And I'll be honest, I was panicked.
Maybe I'll walk through the garden.
Great track. I forgot to turn the mic up. I was that excited. I was just talking away to no one. So well done.
That I can't believe it was as close as it was.
Yeah.
Because when you text me that, you said, I'm doing The Wire, I was like,
no chance.
I mean, I came out with Different Strokes was one option.
Yeah.
And on Baywatch, I thought, yeah, but that was close.
Yeah, man. Really close. But, you know, I would have been happy either way.
Yeah.
Either way, I would have been happy. Because, you know, let's just have another blast of Baywatch.
Oh, you want to hear the whole
thing.
Oh,
no, you do. Like, but also the lyrics, you start realising that that is a really good dad song, isn't it?
Well, because
he's saying, I'll always be here.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Forever and ever. Always be. That's
did
a good
Did Hasselhoff
dad song.
Sing that? I know he sings most of the things. He didn't sing that one.
No. They didn't let him anywhere near it.
No.
They wanted it to be a hit in the US, not in Germany.
Well, Hasselhoff was too busy knocking down the wall, wasn't he, in Germany?
Yeah, he was.
That's all
yeah.
he, it's all him.
That's
he
true.
Did that, yeah.
It was all him. Hasselhoff, all him. God, Hasselhoff single-handedly dragging UK panto into the dirt. I've got a text in here. Hi, Jared. FYI, Fred Dunbar is the train enthusiast. Fred Talbot is the weatherman.
Mm,
so
yeah.
Is there no Fred Dimber?
No, there is. There is a there
Dibner.
Is
Dibner. I thought there was a Fred Dibner.
Is there?
Yeah, I'm looking.
It doesn't matter. He wasn't my area of expertise, so I couldn't give a shit. Can I give a shit?
So much bitterness about this mastermind. We were talking about it when the song was on. There is. You were like, yeah, Russell Cain's so
he took it too seriously, and I've told him this. And so... Because it was for children in need, you know? Yeah. It wasn't like proper mastermind.
Of course he's going to take it seriously. He's
why? I took it seriously. Yes. I just chose it.
And he beat you. I mean, and then that's what I think is... That's when we're getting to the kernel of the
There
of
is
the
a Fred.
Here.
Fred Dibner.
Fred Dibner. Yeah. So, yeah, he did beat me. And at the end, he gets to sit on the chair by himself. So I ran in and sat on his lap, and he got a little bit annoyed by that. I made sure that the other two came in as well.
Is it really nerve-wracking? I always imagine, like, when the light's down on you, can you see anything? Is it, like...
Yeah, you can. Of course you can.
Well,
there's light.
No, but it always looks like it's really bright. Like when
it is bright, but you can see. Right. And I remember I was wearing a pair of Supra trainers that were bronze, and... Humpho complimented me on them at the start of the general knowledge round. He said, you've got very nice shoes on. I said, thank you. They're the colour of bronze because that's the position I'm going for. and then I ended up coming third. So, you know, prophecy, bloody Serengeti here. You know who I mean. Yeah. Nostradamus.
Yeah.
Serengeti. Oh, God damn. Old Africa Plains here.
I love the way you said, do you know what I mean? I'm like, no.
But you were nodding at me.
I know.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah. When you said Serengeti, we all heard Nostradamus. That's what we heard. Man alive.
Did you call him Humpho?
Humpho?
Yeah.
Not to his face.
No.
Not
he
to his face.
He can't have been happy with Transformers as a subject, though, because people do take it. He must have been a bit like, come on, do something serious, like with you as your specialist subject.
Why is Transformers Series 1 any less... academically,
than the entire works
worthy.
Of Evil and War.
Yeah, someone having knowledge on a specialist subject.
No, as I've said before, it's not the fact that it's Transformers anymore. It's the fact you just did Series 1. That's my issue.
Why?
Because I think it's flaky.
Because no, it's not.
Yeah, it is.
It's not.
It is.
It's not.
It is.
What you would have preferred if I did
Transformers. Transformers.
Just Transformers in general. That
no,
has to cover Generation 1, Generation 2, all the Japanese ones, has to cover the movies as well, has to cover the Transformers, the original cartoon movie that came out in 1982 with Unicron, the planet-eating dinosaur, where Optimus Prime is killed and Rodimus Prime rises to lead the Autobots. Is that what we have to do?
Well,
we have to deal with the Michael Bay films. Yeah, Shia LaBeouf, all the way up to the point that Mark Wahlberg has taken over because Shia LaBeouf didn't want to be involved anymore. Then, you know, Transformers 2, where Destructor, the Decepticon Transformer that is formed by the Constructicons, the fearsome creature, but Michael Bay went, let's lighten the mood by putting two balls hanging down the back of it. Seriously, I'd have to answer everything on those. Too big a subject matter, mate. You might as well have said, my specialist subject is the world. That's not a specialist subject, mate. If you wanted me to do all that Transformers stuff, that's general knowledge about Transformers.
Well, he did all general Evelyn Waugh stuff. He didn't say I'm
Evelyn
just
Waugh's done three novels!
He fucking hasn't. He hasn't.
It's hold on. Is Evelyn Waugh a dude?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, I thought it was a chick.
He is a dude, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
A man.
How many novels?
Loads. He's done... All right, let's think of it.
Yeah, but come on.
Oh, Scoop? He wrote Scoop,
did
I think.
He? Yeah. One or two. One or two Scoops.
Howard's End.
Oh my God, really?
But yeah, there's a lot of bitterness.
Just back off, mate. I've got someone who's messaging me about movies a lot, which I like. In the recent trailer for Godzilla, if you look closely in the dust of the devastation, you may or may not see possibly two smaller kaiju, which is Japanese for the monsters, causing trouble in the dust. And loving the voiceover, Bryan Cranston says, "You're not fooling anybody when you say that what happened was a natural disaster. You're lying. It was not an earthquake. It wasn't a typhoon. Godzilla." Cool. Good message. Here's another one. "Too much Spider-Man is not enough, at least not according to Sony. The studio says it wants to release a Spider-Man movie or a Spidey spin-off every year like clockwork, because with great media property comes great overkill." Good use of the catchphrase.
Yeah.
Have you seen any of the Spider-Man films?
Oh, yeah.
Not a fan?
No, I'm not.
Not even of Spider-Man 2 with Doc Ock?
No, I'm
That's
not.
That's a good one.
I know, I'm really bad with those kind of films. I'm the same with the Batman films.
Really?
Yeah, I find them so boring.
Really?
Yeah, all the Batman films. Like, oh, no, not the last one, The Dark Knight Rises, is it?
Okay.
That was all right. Yeah, but I'm not...
So
like,
are you talking all the Batman films, ranging right from Michael Keaton all the way through George Clooney?
Danny DeVito.
And then to...
I love... The only Batman franchise I liked was the TV series. That they used to play after Whack-A-Day on Saturday mornings.
Adam West.
Yeah. That was brilliant.
Like, bam, kapow.
Yeah. Brilliant.
Okay.
What about you?
I like everything, mate.
Yeah.
I liked all the Batman films. I felt the recent ones dragged on a little.
Yeah.
And you couldn't understand what's-his-face.
Christian Bale.
Tom Hardy.
You couldn't understand him as Bane. He was like, you've just given away a great plot point, and I didn't understand it, mate. And I'm at the IMAX, so I can't rewind this. What are you going to do? I enjoyed the recent Superman with, what's his name? Cavill.
Henry Cavill.
It was pretty good.
Yeah.
I like superhero films.
Yeah,
I thought Avengers Assemble,
that was
great.
Tom Hiddleston was brilliant in that.
Oh, that was good.
He's good.
Yeah, Loki, so good. What I loved about that film and Joss Whedon, who wrote it, is the fact that he got into mainstream cinema the Mewling Quim.
This rings a bell.
Yeah, when Loki is imprisoned and Scarlett Johansson's character's trying to get information out of him and he calls her a Mewling Quim. That is amazing. Because Quim, that's ye olde English for the C-bomb, essentially, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
And he got that in. That is amazing.
Wait, so it was just an ad-lib?
No, not an ad-lib. Joss Whedon
wrote it.
He wrote that line. Oh. Mewling Quim. That is great. Name me another mainstream film where one main character says to another main character, "You're a snivelling..."
Driving Miss Daisy?
Yeah, yeah, that works. Mewling Quim. That is great.
FUBAR Radio.
Quim. I grew up near a forest in New Zealand called Quinny's Bush that we all called Quimmy's Bush because it was like...
Of course,
know,
yeah.
Hey, that place is called Vagina. Sounds like a great place to visit.
I think that word is underused, actually. I don't think that's used enough.
Quim.
You can't be offended by that. It's quaint. It's nice.
It is quaint.
What actually is... I mean, I know what it is. Is it like the whole...
Vulva. I think it's mainly the vulva.
Oh, is that? Okay.
I don't know. I just said vulva.
It was just the vajayjay.
The vajay.
And what? The vulva's the...
They're the really safe cars that... from Sweden. I'm driving a Volvo. Its lights are on all the time. It's so reliable.
Roomy.
On that note. Grip Like Advice, the Go Team. That is brilliant. I've just had a message in about the Transformers movie. This is a fact that I did know, but it is quite nice to read it out. Bumblebee's alternate mode in the original Transformers was a Volkswagen Bug Beetle. However, director Michael Bay feared comparison to Herbie, the love bug. Therefore, Bumblebee in the Michael Bay films takes the form of a Chevrolet Camaro in the 2009 adaptation. As a tribute to the original, Bumblebee is positioned next to a Volkswagen Beetle in the car dealership owned by Bernie Mac, who we talked about before. So that's taken us full circle on...
Transformers.
On Transformers and Bernie Mac. So, you know. Hey, and... will this play through?
Yeah, if I put this up.
You can get what is it?
Just someone sent through the Godzilla roar, I think.
Did you click it?
Yeah, of course I clicked it. I know how to use a computer.
Yeah, it's coming.
Oh, here it is. Where do I... How do I put
so
it play?
Do people email you links and then you can click on it and play it on
push
air?
Push play.
I think that's. Well,
that was Godzilla. Godzilla piping up there.
That was good, yeah. Nice of him to make an appearance. Yeah. Nice. Yeah.
That guy needs to do is breathe, not roar for so long. we've got a section now that is going to allow myself and B. Ruche to, release some tension, let off some steam, deal with some issues between each other. And this is also an opportunity if anybody feels like they want to email in or even phone in and leave a message, you can contact us through the app.
Do all that.
Leave a VM, voicemail. It's called Positive Pet Peeves, where we want you to let loose about someone you know. It's got to be something positive, but it makes you angry. Okay? And Bruce has actually got a lot of them that make me angry. And
your list is way longer than mine.
I've got a very, very big list. Bruce, I don't know how to tell you this, mate, but your chest hair is the perfect amount for a man to have. I look at your chest hair that is peeking out from your shirt, and it just reminds me that I've got way too much chest hair.
Yeah, well,
but your chest hair says, yeah, I'm a man, but I ain't no monkey.
Well, at least I haven't got eyebrows that are exactly the same. Oh, yeah, I'm Jared Christmas. I've got two eyebrows that are the same on both sides of my face.
You know what? Really? You know, you've got a very generous laugh. And you use it often. And it boosts my confidence and it boosts Natalie's confidence.
Well, at least I'm not so bloody charitable. You're always giving money here, giving money there. You're so goddamn generous.
Does everything that you do always lead to good things for your family?
Well, at least I'm not inspiring people. Inspiring this, inspiring that, Monday to Friday, always inspiring people.
Oh, all right, Mr. Easygoing. Yeah, put me in any situation, I'll just get along with everyone.
Oh, and I'm a father, and I feed my kids. Oh, Daddy, we're hungry. Oh, I'll just go and make some food then.
Look at me, I'm Bruce. My ears are in perfect proportion to my head.
And I've just shaved my beard off because I'm Jared Christmas, and I've shaved the whole beard off. Not just a little bit or left a little patch over. I've shaved it all off. What's that? What's that, my children? You're cold? Oh, I'll get you a bloody jacket then. I'll put the heating up in the house. God, you make me sick.
Oh, God, I'm glad I got that off my chest.
No, me too.
Here we go, mate. This will make things better. Rafael Sadiq, heart attack. That guy is pretty cool.
Yeah.
Rafael Sadiq.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad we didn't come to fisticuffs during that.
So. No. I'm actually pumped now.
Yeah, I pretty pumped. Like your good. Face is looking very flushed.
Thanks, man.
In a good way.
In a good way.
You know,
in
it's really brought out your eyes.
Thanks, man.
You know, it's making your nostrils sparkle. Yeah, nostrils sparkle. What's the weirdest compliment you've ever had?
A girl once told me that I was strangely attractive.
Strangely attractive. Yeah. That's pretty cool. I once had a girl say to me that I had stunted fingers, but she likes that. And I don't think I have got stunted fingers. Do I? My fingers don't look stunted.
No, they're lovely fingers.
Thank you, mate. I don't even know what she really meant by stunted.
No.
Stunted fingers.
She was off her rocker.
Yeah.
You got beautiful hands.
Thanks, mate.
They really match your eyes.
You know what? Your hands match the rest of your body.
And your
they look like they go together.
So does yours. So does your mouth looks like it goes with your testicles.
I'll tell you what my mouth goes with. A big cock. It goes really well with a big cock. It's got a bit rude again.
It's part two, isn't it? We're carrying on with
pet
the
peeves
positive
and,
pet peeves.
Secrets revealed. My mouth goes around it. It's not happened.
I think I once got told by someone I work with on the work, I don't even know if it is a compliment, but they said, you're quite nice once you get to know you.
That is a brutal one, isn't it?
It's like, okay, thanks, I think.
The ultimate backhand comment.
Yeah.
You get them... After a show.
Yeah, yesterday.
I remember, the guy coming into the dressing room, the famous one is when you've done a play and they come up to you, your mates come after the show into the dressing room, and they go, "You've done it again!" And you're kind of like, that can mean anything. Yeah.
You've done it again! Or, you've made me waste my money!
Or just they come up and go, "You!"
Yeah. I've had... actually, last week, someone came up to me and said, "I usually don't like you at all, but tonight..." You were good. I got one from my dad years ago when I was in a Shakespearean play. My dad, he was in the New Zealand Army for 25 years. It was just him. But he used to come along to all the plays that I was in and stuff, you know. And, you know, this is a guy, pretty solid bloke, tattoos all over his arms, you know, like proper military tattoos, a snake wrapped around a dagger, a crab clutching a skull in its claw. That's not true. But the snake around the dagger is.
Yeah.
And so all these actors that I was doing play with, the teenagers and that, they're like, "Oh my God, this really scary man in the front row. He's got tattoos and everything." And I'm like, "Yeah, it's my dad." Anyway, after the Shakespeare thing, I said to him, what did you think? And he went, yeah, it was pretty bloody good. I mean, didn't understand any of it, and not so sure about the tights, but well done, mate. Well done. That's pretty much a backhanded compliment.
I was on a play with a guy who had to shave his head, but he took his hat off on stage to reveal his shaved head. It wasn't like a big reveal, but his grandmother was in the audience, and one matinee he left to take his hat off, and I just heard from the auditorium really audibly his grandmother going, "Oh, Max." Couldn't believe that he shaved his head.
I wonder, does anybody else in any other job get these bizarre backhanded compliments? Because I know performers get it all the time. If you're in an office, does anybody come up and go, "Usually I don't like getting an email from you, but that email today was really good. It was correct."
Yeah. Your photocopying's it's really come along in the last few months.
Usually, if I need photocopying done, I don't come to you.
Yeah.
But today, you've really nailed it.
My mate was in a really bad play. We're doing theatre stories now, but anyway. He was in a really bad play, and the curtain come down at the end after they'd all bowed, and they could hear the audience talking about the play as they were leaving.
And they were collecting bad comments. And after one show, they all bowed. It was a terrible show. I went to see it. The curtain came down, and they heard everyone clapped. The curtain came down, and the cast could hear in the front row someone just go, "Who do we blame for this one?
Roy!"
Bloody Roy!
Bloody Roy, organising the theatre trips.
Making us waste our money and time on this shit! Good work. Well, we are almost at the end of the hour, but not the end of the show, so stick with us. Here to see us through to, what, 6 o'clock?
Yeah.
Hip-hop is dead. Is it really, Naz? Wow. That is a great track, Naz. Great track. It's 6 o'clock.
FUBAR Radio.
Jared Christmas.
Bruce McKinnon. Bruce Dramatic. No, no. Sorry.
Oh.
Oh.
Okay, let's do it all again. It's 6 o'clock.
FUBAR Radio.
Jared Christmas, a.k.a. Jarrity James. Yo, what's up, man?
Bruce McKinnon, a.k.a. the Brewston Rocket.
Right, let's do it again. Let's do it again.
What's my name again?
It's 1802.
FUBAR Radio.
You're listening to Jared Christmas, a.k.a. Jarrity James. Yo, what's up, man?
You're listening to Bruce McKinnon, a.k.a. Baruche.
Stop swallowing. All you can hear after you do that is...
I've just had a celebration.
Natatak.
Oh, yeah.
Natamatic.
Yeah.
You've got to join in on that.
Oh, okay. And then Natalie, a.k.a. Natatakamatic.
Natatakamatic. You've mixed them all together.
A mashup on my own hip-hop name now.
Okay, guys, we're going to practice this. Right? I thought we could just flow with it, but we haven't practiced it. I've got a couple of cracking backhanded compliments coming through. I was drumming for a funk band, and I overheard one of the 20 or so people in the audience say, "This band sucks, but the drummer's got a great six-pack." That is good. Another backhanded compliment. I work in a pet shop, and the manager complimented me on my rabbit hutch cleaning. WTF. Really good rabbit hutch cleaning. Yeah, thanks. I've been aspiring towards this my whole life. Nice time check. Smooth. Sarcastic. Sarcastic.
What was that?
I don't know. I time checked before and someone... someone's being sarcastic.
I remember doing a joke when I was doing stand-up and it was like the worst heckle. It wasn't even a heckle. It was we were meant to get a laugh and all I heard was...
That is brutal.
That is the worst.
I think I can beat that.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. I was doing a gig in Croydon. That's it. I was doing a gig in Croydon years ago. And there was easily 150 people in this room, and I was playing a complete silence for about 5 minutes, and then I just heard this guy shout out, "You have ruined my birthday." So that's pretty bad. Okay, in our final hour, not in our final hour of life, but in our final hour of the show, we've still got Workplace Confessional coming up, and we've got some cracking ones sent through. So if you haven't done that yet, fire us one through. We've got Kiwi Flavor coming up, and Bullshit Detector, and of course, the infamous Bashing the Bishop. Tweet us at FUBAR Radio, email christmas@fubarradio.com.
FUBAR, giving radio the finger.
Just because I can.
Yeah.
Just because I can. I just pushed a button and that happened. And
That's power.
It is power.
Yeah.
Power at my fingertips. I've got so much power at my fingertips that I can pretty much do whatever the hell I want. I mean, I could do something as awesome as playing a little bit of Michael Jackson.
Make that change.
I will if you will, Michael. So, Workplace Confessional now. Workplace Confessional. Forgive me, FUBAR Radio, for I have sinned. We've had a few messages through on this one, and in a little bit we're going to go to a caller who's going to give us a live one, a live confessional. I've got her name, but maybe to keep her anonymous, I might change her name. Anyway, let's do one here. Forgive me, FUBAR Radio, for I have sinned. I was working in a hotel on the front desk. A really annoying guest kept on phoning me instead of the concierge. asking for condoms and bottles of rum. He must have not put the phone down properly, as I could hear him pleasuring himself. In a moment of madness, I put the phone onto the intercom so that it was heard all around the hotel complex. I then ran away to the toilet. I claimed to my line manager that another guest must have done it by mistake.
Wow.
So hang on, she put the guy wanking on the intercom.
So, and you know, someone just sitting in the bar of the hotel, and next thing they hear, oh yeah. Oh.
Why does he want condoms?
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask.
Yeah, me too. That's a safe wank.
That's called a posh wank, isn't it?
Is it a posh wank?
Yeah.
So you don't impregnate yourself.
So posh wank only if it's a caviar flavoured condom. It's easier to clean up, I suppose. I don't know.
But that's quite a...
But maybe he was expecting a guest and the guest never arrived.
Because that's an attractive sight. A man wanking with condoms and bottles of rum. That's a nice sight to walk into, isn't it?
That's a great night in.
Yeah.
Maybe he was filling the condoms up with rum.
And then sticking it on his...
No, drink. And then drinking from the condom.
Oh, yeah.
Doing a baggy shot.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Brilliant. Yeah, you can
It is brilliant. I totally forgive that. Because if I was at that hotel... And I was in the bar or some area, and then all of that started piping through. Initially, I wouldn't know what it was.
You wouldn't know what it was, but then you go, hang on.
Then you go and figure it out, and I would have a proper laugh about that. So well done. You are completely forgiven and encouraged to do more things like that.
Definitely.
And tell us about it.
Yeah. Forgive me, FUBAR, for all they've called us fathers. Forgive me, FUBAR fathers, for I have sinned. All right. I was working as an electrician for a football stadium in Scotland. The away team, who I support, were getting humped 3-0 before half-time. I sabotaged the game by shorting the main floodlights. The match had to be abandoned and replayed. My team lost the replay as well.
No!
That is a really
That's
good
unbelievable.
One. That is pretty extreme.
So how many
it?
People were watching?
I don't know. I just read out the information I've got.
Right.
I don't know. It's Scotland. It can't be many.
Racist now?
No, and you know it was
hardly
floodlits.
Yeah,
but it was hardly going to be a Rangers Celtic game.
That's what I was asking.
Is it? It's going to be you know.
But it's floodlits. So it's going to be quite high.
It's going to be the Outer Hebrides versus the Lower Hebrides, or something like that.
But that's quite full on, though.
That is really
a match for
yeah.
How do you short a floodlight? What do you have to do?
Well, if you're an electrician, you'd know.
Okay, it sounds a bit MacGyverish. I'm shorted the floodlights.
Well, I think most electricians can perform fairly MacGyverish tasks.
That's true. With a baked bean can.
Actually, any proper man, I think, can perform MacGyver. Any handyman can perform a MacGyverish task. I feel like I'm MacGyver if I manage to put a picture up straight.
Yeah.
And that takes me about an hour.
Yeah. It took me a bank holiday weekend once to put up 3 shelves. Literally, a day of shelf. And
it.
I was, every time I woke up in the morning and they were still there,
dreading
I was
it.
So
dreading
happy.
It.
No, I was so proud that they
had
to
come stay up there, yeah.
3 days.
I said to my wife that I could hang a picture and get it all level and stuff because I downloaded onto my iPhone an app that had a spirit level on it. I was like, I have got this. I've got this calibre. And the spirit level app, you have to calibrate it. And so I calibrated it, and I was like, yep, I'm all over this. I know what calibrating means. Put the picture up, put the iPhone up there so I could see the spirit level picture. Angled it. Ooh, that is level. Boom. Done. Drilled some holes. Done it all. Stepped back, and it was crooked. I was like, how the hell? What? And I'd calibrated the spirit level by putting my iPhone down on the side that has the two volume buttons. So it was partly up on an angle. The iPhone was on an angle. Then the
and you already drilled holes in the walls.
Yeah, but you know, I'm going to forgive this guy.
Yeah,
totally forgive him.
Despite the fact that they lost the replay is brilliant.
Yeah, that is penance enough.
Yeah.
Okay, forgive me, FUBAR Radio, for I have sinned. I served my customers scones that had not risen properly and were doughy in the middle. Oh my God, you're not forgiven. That is the worst.
Sacrilege.
Yeah. If I like a scone.
Yeah, me
be
too.
Be so desperate. Did not... Forgive me, FUBAR Uber Lords of the universe, for I have sinned. I was working at Glencoe Ski Centre and had a terrible hangover. I had to run to the bog for a much-needed cleansing vomit. This took me some time to recover. Unfortunately, the chairlift stopped working just as I left. 35 people were stranded in negative 20 wind chill conditions for 20 minutes.
Wow. Wow.
And I've been to Glencoe. It is cold up there.
That's the Highlands, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
The scene of a massacre.
The Glencoe massacre. Yeah. That was between the McDonald clan and Clan Campbell.
You really are good at conflicts.
Technically, it wasn't Clan Campbell. And the McDonald clan, they'd kind of fallen out with the King of Scotland at that time. And they were given a time frame to swear fealty to the new king. And the leader of Clan MacDonald didn't get there in time. So some other higher ranking sort of official in Scotland sent in an army regiment that just so happened to number quite a few Campbells. And Campbells and MacDonalds have had quite a long history. But the weather was so bad, and using the Scottish hospitality law, which is a law for hundreds of years, because the weather in Scotland can be appalling.
Yeah.
So they have a hospitality law. That's why a lot of hotels up in Scotland are fantastic, is because hospitality is such a big thing up there. You know. So you put someone up, strangers in town, weather's bad, you put them up. So this, all these soldiers arrived in Glencoe, and the McDonald's clan put them up. The soldiers didn't know what they were there for. And they stayed there, I believe, for 11 nights, and then the captain called them all together and gave them the true story of their mission. And quite a few of them refused to do it and walked away.
Really?
Some of them were able to warn their hosts in time. That's why not all of the McDonald's were slaughtered. But others, you know, they went for it. I think 21 were women and children as well. And not to mention more who ran away and got lost in the snow and died from that. And the famous order came from Captain Campbell, who said, put all to the sword under the age of 70.
Now, why wasn't this your chosen specialised subject?
And you know what? It's because my mum's from the McDonald's side.
Because I'm a McKinnon.
Are you a McKinnon?
And the McKinnon and McDonald's fucking hate each other.
Really?
So it was a massive battle on the Isle of Skye.
Yeah.
And actually, when I used to go up to the Isle of Skye quite a lot when I was growing up. And when I was a kid, there still were signs in hotels saying no Campbells.
Yeah. That's true.
Only recently. That happens.
Yeah. And I've never known why, but my whole life, because I'm a McDonald, I've never known why, but my whole life I've hated Campbell's soup.
I've hated McDonald's.
I think we can forgive the Glencoe Ski Centre massacre. we should go to our caller. Yeah. Is she still on the line?
Yeah, what name are we? What name are we?
What name are we going to give her?
Mary Jane.
Mary Jane. Okay. Mary Jane Celeste.
Mary Jane Celeste. Like a porn
Mary
star.
Jane Celeste, are you there?
I am.
Yes. You got the history lesson there before we came to you. I believe you've got a workplace confession.
I have, yeah. I've racked my brains for ones that I could use that wasn't incriminating. And this is probably the least incriminating of all my work confessions, because there are quite a few.
Good.
So I was working in a pub, and I was locking up with one night. And I'd had a few drinks with a few of the locals. And when it came to time to locking up, I decided I'd do something a bit naughty. My mates worked in there as the cleaners. So I got a chalk pen and wrote on the stairs, Susan and Jenny, take it up the arse, right?
Wow.
And I thought in the morning they'd come in and they would hoover it off and everything would be fine. But it didn't. It stayed there for about 5 months and every single person they knew saw it.
Five months?
Yeah, wow. 5 months. Yeah, it didn't come off.
And they didn't know it was you?
No, they did find out it was me. Not in the beginning they didn't know, but then they did find out it was me.
And do they?
Yeah, they. I don't know. I've never asked them.
I was joking, sorry. I don't want to know.
That can totally be forgiven. Of course that can be forgiven. I want to hear something a little bit more dodgy than that. Remember, your name today is Mary Jane Celeste.
Yeah. I don't think there's anything that I could. Yeah, there really isn't anything that I could give you over the air.
Okay.
To be honest.
Oh, wow.
That's fair enough. Well, I appreciate what you've given us. I think what you need to do is drink three Bloody Marys, maybe a Jaeger bomb, and I encourage you to write more things about what your friends do sexually on carpet. You should do more of that.
No problem.
Thanks for the call.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
I loved it when I said, and do they? She's like, I don't know if they... I'll just text them. Hang on.
do you still like the chalk suggested? she's definitely forgiven. We've all written what our friends do.
Yeah.
It was William the Orange who had given the order. That was the Glencoe massacre.
Oh.
You guys are so fucking funny. I've been told off by my boss. Thanks for being so funny. That's a nice one. That's not a workplace confession, but we'll take a compliment. And there's nothing backhanded about that. That was a forehand compliment. That's what that was. workplace confession. A mate of my old flatmate, he used to work in an office building, and there was a disabled toilet that had, because they were really high up, it had quite a big sort of window area that had like a bench seat sort of thing and some cushions. So whenever he was hungover, he would go into the disabled toilet, lock it, and curl up on that bench and sleep. And he said the longest sleep he managed in there was about 45 minutes one day. That's pretty good. And speaking of sleeping at work, I used to work at a supermarket in Christchurch, New Zealand. I'm not going to give away the name.
No.
Okay. But they paid us really bad money, like low money. So we called it Pack and Slave, even though... The supermarket was Pack and Save. I've said it. But we used to take turns on sneaking out into the stock room and going onto the top pallet of the toilet paper and sleeping up there on the top pallet of the toilet paper because it was pretty soft.
We used to do that at a restaurant as well, in the storeroom.
Sleeping on the toilet paper?
Yeah, on the toilet rolls in the storeroom. It was really good.
It's good. It's comfy, man. Yeah. Toilet roll is comfy. Nat? You've kept very quiet on workplace confession.
Well, I used to be a waitress when I was a student in a pizza restaurant.
Right.
And obviously restaurants, you know, they're closing 11, say, so by half 10, you're not interested in customers coming in. That's the last thing you want.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
So I think my boss was away doing something, cashing off something behind in the kitchen, and this kind of table, it's a table of 10 came in.
Yeah.
10:45. That's not happening. So no. I just kind of like to just made up stuff about, no, well, we've got no dough, the pizza's off, the salad's not around, we don't have any desserts. And it was quite a well-known person that I said it to.
Really?
It was Daley Thompson.
Oh.
British
so
heptathlon.
I just lied. And I kind of thought like, yeah, I think I should probably want to. I mean, in my head, I was going probably a big tipper. But then I said, also, I want to leave at 11 o'clock. So, yeah. Sorry, Daley, everything. I just kept lying about the stuff that wasn't edible.
Yeah.
And he left. He was annoyed. He was pissed off.
I think you can totally be forgiven for that because it is, you know, a large group going into a restaurant trying to get served.
Yeah.
For the last, and then, you know, 10, and then they're going to want starters, desserts, main courses, drinks. I'm going to be there till 1 at least.
And if there's one thing we know about Daley, yeah. Takes his time. That's a pretty good workplace confession. I like that. It's pretty workplace. This is full on, this one. Now, I heard this another workplace confession has just come in. Forgive me, FUBAR Radio, for I am a sinner. I once put laxative in my crappy boss's porridge, which he ate every morning. He had to go to the hospital. I may have overdone the dose. He was a dick, though.
Gosh.
He never did any work.
That's like you'd have to really overdo. To go to a hospital, how much have you put in the porridge?
Yeah. If you don't know you've had a laxative, and suddenly you're pooing out things you ate when you were five, you'd be going, "I'm going to go to the hospital here."
I did have a
hang on. That's the Action Force figure that
that's
I.
That's like a wagon wheel.
Well, there's a laxative that looks like chocolate once. And I remember being I don't know where I was living, but my housemate ate it and thought it was chocolate, and it was the chocolate and ate the whole thing, and so they. I mean, I wasn't allowed to get in the bathroom that night, so that was a bit...
I've never had a laxative, but part of me would really love to, I don't know, have a hotel room for 3 or 4 days.
Rum, bottle of rum.
Bottle of rum, condoms, a loudspeaker.
An intercom system.
And powerful laxatives and just clear the whole system out. Is that not what people do?
I don't know if they book a hotel room and make a night
of
candles.
Yeah, I don't know. I think the reason I want to do it in a hotel room is that, you know, I wouldn't have to do any of the cleaning up.
But it'd be a hell of a trip, wouldn't it? Like, efforts. Would you have to say to your, how would it work? Would you say to your wife, I'm off this weekend.
Yeah,
but I'm just going to popping in boots.
Yeah.
And the off license.
And
we're back on Sunday.
Premier Inn.
Premier Inn and.
I did a show up in Leicester on Valentine's Day just been, and I had to drive up, and I thought about staying in a hotel. Like, last minute, I thought, maybe I'll look into a hotel instead of having to drive up and drive back. And I went on to, like, one of those websites, lastminute.com, late rooms, that sort of thing. Holiday Inn, Good hotel.
Yeah.
Mm. Okay hotel. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Three star. You know what you're going to get. £1,000 for the night.
No.
£1,000 for that Valentine's Day in Leicester. £1,000 for the night. And the cheapest hotel I could find was around about £400, just purely because it was Valentine's Day.
That's crazy.
And I just thought, imagine if you thought, I'm going to do something spontaneous, I'm going to treat my partner, and you go, we're going to stay in a hotel
in Leicester,
and it's cost £1,000. You'd be thinking, oh, this is going to be an amazing hotel.
It's a holiday,
isn't it? It's not going to matter that it's in Leicester, because he's spent £1,000 on it. It's going to be amazing. And it's a Holiday Inn. And you walk into that room, and there's a condom,
bottle
a
of rum,
laxative rum, and FUBAR on the radio. Brutal. Here we go. Let's play a song. This one.
Yeah.
Or this one. Should I play this song?
Yeah,
I'll play this song.
Let's play that one. Yeah.
I like this song. You'll enjoy this song. I'll play this song. Go-Go Gadget Flow, Lupe Fiasco. Cracking track. It's time for the bullshit detector, guys.
Nice.
I'm going to tell an anecdote. What, two versions of an anecdote.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to figure out the truth from the fiction.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So this is way back in 2001. I went to New York by myself to meet up with a girl. Because when I moved here in 2000, the first person... I decided to have a relationship with a New Yorker who lived in New York, and I'd just moved to London. It was weird. But essentially, we met... I met her on the day that I arrived. We spent a week hanging out. We were doing a improv festival in London. We hung out for a week. On the last night, bit of romance happened, and then she went back to New York and then did an amazing thing, because this was in the November... in December, on Christmas Day, she phoned me because she knew that this was the first Christmas I'd ever spent away from home. I was with my relatives, right? This isn't the anecdote. This is the backstory towards it. I was at my relative's place, who I'd never met, did that classic Aussie and Kiwi thing of my dad rung up his cousin and said, I know we haven't spoken in about 12 years, but my son's going over and you've never met him. Can he stay with you? And so they were like, yeah, great. So I was at their place and they were doing their best to make me feel, and it was great, but her calling made me go, oh, this is amazing. So I decided to go over and visit her. So I get over there and she was in rehearsals doing a play. And so on one of the nights, she had rehearsal that night because they were opening 2 days later. So I had a night to spend in New York from about, I think it was about 6 o'clock at night to 11 by myself. And my intention was to go to the cinema and, maybe see a couple of movies or whatever. And this is 2001, okay? So finances-wise, I didn't have a credit card, okay? Debit cards, would not work in New York, a British debit card. So I had cash, right? So I had a money belt. Now, just before we left her apartment, we got romantic with each other, and I took the money belt off and forgot to put it back on, and we left. And she goes to her rehearsals, I head to the cinema, and that's when I realise I haven't got my money belt. I don't know how to get back to her apartment. Even if I could, I wouldn't have a key because I'm meeting her. I've got my wallet. And in my wallet is $7, not enough for the cinema. So I'm now staring at, 5 hours in New York?
With $7.
At night with $7. What am I going to do? So I head to a Barnes & Noble, right? Because in New York, Barnes & Noble bookshops, they're open really late. I thought, I'll hang out there, I'll read a book, right? And as the one I headed to... there was a park across the road, and I noticed that there was a group of guys busking, sort of a cappella singing with a bit of beatboxing. So I just wandered over and I watched them, and they'd just started up. So there was only a couple of people and me watching them, but then soon a crowd built it up. And they lasted for about, 20 minutes, and then they handed the hat around. And they were amazing, right? They were amazing. And the hat gets to me, and I'm thinking, I can't. Not, and I'd seen most people were giving them a fiver, right? And So I was like, I can't, I've got to give them something because I've stood here and they've seen that and I'm not going to, you know, and I had a bit of the whole sort of, I'm a performer as well, you know, I wouldn't want to be ripped off. So, and I'm thinking, I'll just give them the $2 and I'll, but then I thought, you know what? Because I'd seen an advertisement they were doing at McDonald's in New York, they were doing $1 hamburgers. And I thought, you know what? I'll get two hamburgers. They'll be my dinner tonight. I'm going to give these guys a fiver. Because I suddenly thought, you know, if they're going to perform again, I want to watch them. So I put a fiver in. And they had a break for about 15 minutes. And then they started up again. So I was right there, watching. Right. And another crowd formed. And so at the end of that performance, the guy comes around with a hat again, gets to me, and I said, oh, I watched the, watched you guys the first, I've already given you a fiver and stuff. And he was cool. And we got chatting. His name was Brian. And he was like proper New York. He was awesome. And we got chatting and he introduced me to the rest of the group. And I, you know, I got some laughs off them and I explained what I was doing and stuff like that. So they told me just to hang out with them, right? And they asked if I could sing or anything because they're like, join us, man. I said, sing. And I was like, I can't sing. Jokingly, I said, I can dance. And they said, okay. And so they performed. And for a laugh, I just started dancing, right? And I spent the next 2 hours with these guys. That's about four performances, right? Just spent about 2 hours with them. And I wasn't dancing to every song, but I would just get up and dance beside them and stuff like that. These are all black dudes, about five black dudes, right? And I'm...
Two hours, you say?
Yeah, about 2 hours, yeah. Right, so it was about four 20-minute, sort of 25-minute things. Sessions. Yeah. With a bit of a break.
Okay.
And then, and at the end of that, you know, I think the time must have been around about 9:30 or something, and they were moving on, and I was like, oh, cool, thanks for letting me hang out. And Brian went to hand me some cash, like a cut of the hat money. And I went, no way, man, no way, I don't deserve that. And he went, yeah, take the money. And the rest of them backed him up going, take the money, man, take the money. It was hilarious having you dancing with us. And they pretty much gave me $40, right? Oh. Which I thought, that's incredible.
If it's real.
And I suddenly thought, I don't need to just have two hamburgers now. So I took the $40. I still had time to kill. So I went into Barnes & Noble. I ended up going to the coffee shop area, having a decent sandwich, reading a book. And then I went and met my my girlfriend and had about $30, so we went out for a meal that I paid most of.
So many questions.
Right, that's version one. Version one. Version two is all the same up to Barnes & Noble, and I see the group.
So you've done all the dancing?
Initially, the idea of going to Barnes & Noble. And then I see the group doing their thing.
Right.
I watch them for one go, and I have the dilemma of, how much money do I give them? The McDonald's thing, $1. So I was like, all right, fine. So I gave them $5. Then I went into Barnes & Noble, and I read a book for a while, got hungry, went to McDonald's.
Hang on, sorry. So you gave them money?
I gave them $5.
You gave them $5, right, okay. And then
so
left.
I had $2. And then I left. Because remember, I've got money.
Yeah.
I just haven't got it on me. And then I go to McDonald's, and I order two hamburgers. And the guy tallies it up and says, that's going to be $2.40. And I went, no, the hamburgers are $1. And he went, yeah, they're $1, but then we had the tax, man, GST or whatever. And I was like, oh, I've only got $2. And he said, well, you can only get one hamburger and some change. I was like, oh, I'm really hungry. And he was like, look, man, okay, I'll give you the two hamburgers, okay. And you give me $2. Let's not worry about the tax, but that's our secret. And I was so delighted. And I got two hamburgers, went outside, turned out he'd only slipped me some cheeseburgers, hadn't he?
What, right? An extra hamburger?
No, instead of hamburgers, he gave me two cheeseburgers, which weren't a fucking dollar, right?
This is bullshit.
And so I ate them. I ate them, was delighted, and, you know, went back to Barnes & Noble, hung out, met my girlfriend. She ended up having to buy dinner that night.
That's bullshit. what I love about it is that you took your money belt off for lovemaking.
Yeah.
I love the fact that definitely
that's
happened
right.
In both instances.
Yeah,
I'm thrilled about. As an image by itself is something I will take from this broadcast.
I wonder how you sexily take a money belt off as well.
The image of Jared Christmas taking off his money belt for lovemaking.
Look, I'll be honest, mate. I probably didn't even have the money belt on. It was just we were about to leave.
Yeah.
And we just got to it, and then suddenly we had no time, so it was like, quick, get out of the house.
Right.
So it wasn't, I'm pretty sure I didn't have it on me. Mm. I was just meant to take it with me.
Yeah, all right.
Who is a money belt? Is that just a bum bag? Is that the same?
No. It's like it goes under your clothes. It goes under your clothes, so you can have your money securely against your body.
Right.
But it
goes under your clothes?
Yeah, a money belt. It's for travellers. So that it's not like a bum bag. It's so that no one can see it.
Oh.
So you can have your wallet and have no money in the wallet.
Yes, yes.
So, you know, because I was told New York's a dangerous place.
If
I get mugged, they'll take my wallet and I'll still have my money belt. My sexy money belt.
When you played Man in the Mirror in the last section, you sung the whole song. I know the listeners didn't hear it, and danced.
Mm-hmm.
So I can well imagine you doing four 20-minute sessions of improv dancing in New York.
Yeah.
Brian, that's a made-up name, isn't it? I've made so many notes here.
I've been scribbling notes down.
What do you think, Nat Attack?
Well, I mean, they both seem like they could entirely be made up because the bus, it's like a film, isn't it? The bus could say, hey, come and hang with us, join us, dance, let's give you some money.
Yep.
But then equally, I don't believe somebody at McDonald's is just going to give you, don't worry about it, it's fine.
That's what I think. I can't imagine anyone at McDonald's going, don't worry about it.
Yeah.
It's not like a corner shop in 1960s Dorset.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I think, I'm with you.
I think it's the first one, though.
I think the first one's true. Second one was true, guys.
No! Really?
Yeah, I got cheap food from McDonald's. Didn't charge me the tax.
Wow. Yeah.
And you got a cheeseburger.
Yeah. I did not hang out with those guys. But I do remember from watching them, they did an amazing cover of When Doves Cry, and they did End of the Road. And a few years back, I was just trawling through YouTube. There's a thing on YouTube, the Subway Singers, and I'm sure it's these same guys.
Really?
Because when I saw the clip of them singing When Doves Cry, I was like, it was all coming back to me. So I'm sure it was those guys. I'm sure it was
that
those
was brilliant.
Guys. Yeah, so it was number two.
I thought a sackable offence at McDonald's, giving away free food.
When I worked at McDonald's, I got away with a load of stuff. A good-looking girl would come in, I'd slip them an extra burger just to fatten them up.
Really?
Yeah, nuggets were the easiest, man. You'd just put a couple of extra in when you're cooking them, and then you'd... If a mate came in, instead of giving them six, you'd give them nine.
Really?
Yeah.
Did you start off cooking at McDonald's?
No, I was front counter, mate. You wouldn't waste this face out the back.
How many stars? How many stars did you get on the badge?
We weren't doing stars. We were doing bronze, silver, and gold, depending on how good you were at each section. When I ended up leaving, I had obviously gold for service.
Yeah, of course.
I had a silver for kitchen, nothing for front of house because that meant cleaning up and I avoided that at all costs. We're going to go into a track now. This is my Kiwi Flavour record. It's a fantastic group. Unfortunately, they've split up. It's called The Super Groove and they live up to the name. These guys have been one of my favourite bands since forever. They've splintered off. There's a guy, Shay Fu, is doing a lot of his own stuff now, and he's brilliant as well. But this is one of my favourite tracks of all time from a Kiwi group called Super Groove. There was about 16 of them in the group. So I kind of thought, well, it's understandable you'd split up because it's hard to make a lot of money. It's hard to make a lot of money, you know, because they'll be getting booked for gigs.
Yeah.
Where, you know, maybe two dudes are showing up and they're getting the same amount of money as just two dudes. So enjoy this, everybody. Bit of Kiwi flavour. It's Super Groove with Scorpio Girls. Scorpio Girls, Super Groove. Guys, did you like?
Yeah.
That was good, wasn't it? One day I'm going to play something. Guys, did you like? You're like, no. No. That is why that track stayed in New Zealand. No. That was a great track. But it's almost... home time for all of us here, and there's only one way to truly say goodnight to each other, and that's with bashing the bishop. It's our wanking euphemism game, where the challenge is to create a wanking euphemism with two random letters that are given to you in the format of bashing the bishop, or as close to that format as possible. If a challenge is laid down that what you've said does not sound like a wanking euphemism, it has to be put into a sentence such as, I'm off to the bathroom to tuck in the MacGyver. or I was walking past the bathroom and I heard Bruce tucking in the MacGyver.
What did you do the one yesterday about Dave?
There was something about
hands
Dave.
With Dave or something.
Yeah. Something like that. Encouraging Dave.
Encouraging Dave,
And we've got another guest in the studio who is going to play. It's Will, but we need to give you a gangster name, don't we, Will?
I think so, yeah. I'm feeling left out.
What about Will He, Won't He?
Yeah, that's okay.
It's okay.
Yeah.
It's not the greatest. It's not the greatest. We need to be quick on it, guys. Come on, be Ruche. What do you reckon for Will?
Wilhelm the First.
Wilhelm Hopster?
Wilhelm, yeah.
Well, if it's royal, I've got bling. If Wilhelm sounds like a royal name to me. So
does,
I've
that's
got,
true.
Yeah. I've got bling.
Wilhelm. I'm liking Wilhelm.
Wilhelm.
Wilhelm. Yeah. Let's call you Wilhelm.
Wilhelm.
Wilhelm. And Natomatic. Natomatic's, she's going to be judge, jury, and...
Probably executioner. Yeah.
Probably, well, hopefully not executing what we're talking about. You shouldn't need to. So, competing today, we have B. Ruche, we have Wilhelm, and we have Jarody James. You, what's up, man? So, here we go. Who should start? B. Ruche, do you want to be first up?
Hang on, he's got a book. And I wouldn't put it past him to have just written down.
Yeah, there's so many letters in the alphabet. There's so many combinations.
Yeah, that would be. But he'd have to be there for weeks.
That's why it's random.
That's why I wouldn't put it past him to do that, though.
That's a lot of work.
Yeah, that.
I mean, I'm a fan of Jared's.
He has not prepared anything, this guy. All right, Wilhelm, give him his first letter. And remember, we can't be dicks about the letters. We can't give Z's, X's, Y's, that sort of thing.
A. Y, I think, is all right.
Y, okay. O is not.
Yeah.
A.
A, okay. And your other letter is W.
Answering the Womble.
Yes, why not?
Attacking the Wizard. Yeah. Altercation with Wendy.
That only works with an English accent.
I just walked past the bathroom and seen Jared in an altercation with Wendy.
And out came Tinkerbell.
Answering Wurzel.
You've used answering.
Oh,
that's three.
We can give him another
Shot. Give another one? Okay.
Have another shot, mate.
Acquiring.
That's good. One, two, three.
What are those crisps called?
Walkers.
No, the cheesy ones. Watsits. Acquiring Watsits. That doesn't... No. That sounded better in my head.
No. Sorry.
That's three.
That's three, though. Three guaranteed ones there. Well, yeah. It's pretty good. Three's the number to beat. Wilhelm. Here we go. Give him a letter there. Be Ruche.
F.
F! That's to start off with, okay? F and... Your final letter will be D.
Flicking the dog.
Oh, wow. Good. Well done.
Fingering the dingo?
Yes! I like how you put it as a question as well. Fingering the dingo. Oh, well done. Just hope that dingo hasn't eaten a baby.
Formulating the desk.
I would have taken formatting my drive.
Forgiving the dean.
Forgiving the
dean. That's good.
That is good. Wow. We're going to have to get tight now.
Yeah.
One, two, three, four, five. He's out.
It's a strong three.
That's a strong
fingering
three.
The dingo. Fingering the dingo. Oh, that one's going to stay, that one. Okay. It's Jarrodi James. Yeah, what's up, man? It's Jarrodi James. Go. Let go. What have we got? Give me a letter there, Wilhelm.
S.
S! Okay.
P.
S and P. Okay. Siphoning the petrol, stimulating the penguin, signalling the pow, stretching the penis, strangling the snake, smuggling the splurge.
Hang on, you're just doing double S's now.
Oh,
S and P,
was I?
The last
oh,
two,
right.
The last two strangling.
What did I say? Strangling the python. smuggling the prune juice. Sequestering.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
Sequestering the politicians. sentencing myself to pain. summoning. The
prawns.
Prawns. Summoning the pumpy pump. savoring the pleasure. Sustaining the power. Starting up the pounding. shifting. Shifting on to shifting my people.
Five,
four, three.
Suggestion to the Pope.
five, four, three,
two.
Struggling with propriety.
I need to hear that in a sentence.
I'm off to the bathroom just to struggle with some propriety. saying nothing polite.
Five.
Have I said shooting?
No.
I've not said
no,
shooting.
No, you haven't there.
I just need something with P now, and that's the game. shooting the pink pistol.
Yep.
That's unbelievable.
Yep. Well done.
17.
That's
17.
Incredible.
Is that a personal best?
Yes.
I mean, I've only been counting since the show started, but I think 17, that's...
It's a best, yeah.
That's going to be hard to beat off. Look out. Well, thanks for joining us, everybody. Wilhelm, thanks for coming in at the last minute. But also, we need to point out that, you know, this radio show wouldn't be working if it wasn't for the likes of Wilhelm or our main man out there, Ewan. Wouldn't be working without Ewan, who's ignoring us. We were looking through the fishbowl at him saying, thanks, Ewan, and he was ignoring us. And, of course, Natomatic. Thanks again, Natomatic.
My pleasure, Jarrodi Jane.
Yeah, what's up, man? we'll be back tomorrow. My guests tomorrow are Reese Mathewson and TJ McDonald, so that's going to be some good times there. Bruce, I don't know when we're going to see you next, but I hope it is soon.
It's been a pleasure,
you
man.
You have been GV all the way. Good value. You've been listening to Jarrod Christmas and FUBAR Radio. Enjoy your Wednesday night, everybody. Good night. And stay tuned for Joey Pajou.
Barry.
Barry from Watford. Stay tuned for Bazza from Watford.